Just to correct something that I said earlier, the unemployment benefit is for 26 weeks, not for 6 weeks, okay? Yes, down to brass tacks.
Hi, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
I agree with social distancing, but you know what has me worried stiff? Public transportation, transport board buses, and the minibuses. How can you cope with that? It is scary.
You traveled on any of them today?
Yes.
They were full?
Yes.
The bus that you were on was full this morning? At what time?
When I got in, it wasn't full.
Okay.
I got a seat.
But it eventually became full?
But as it continued and it traveled onward, it had people standing.
Okay. My position.
So you don't believe me?
No, I'm not disputing that. I'm saying that from what I've seen on the streets today, well, in the earlier part of the day, there was a marked absence of traffic, and it seemed to me that a lot of people didn't go to work. However, the issue of social distancing is something that comes right back to your personal choice. Now, if too many people in Barbados do not understand the importance of it, then the people who get in the bus after you, because you got in when there were few people and you could exercise social distancing. But the people who come after, if they come to the point where they're standing and everybody's close to each other, then they're the ones who are failing to take this matter seriously. But I agree with you that perhaps within the whole sphere of the public transport system of the country, there needs to be some plan and some communication to the public about what will obtain going forward. You know why?
I haven't heard anything.
So no, I haven't heard anything either. But you know, in all fairness, there are so many things that the government has to be dealing with at one time that some things will slip. And that is why it is important for us to be here to say to the government and to other players in the society, look, you missed out this one. And that is one that is missing. Because even if we have a reduction in the number of people coming into Bridgetown, for instance, and going home in the evening, there are still some routes where you might have a larger number of people than others. And we need to be able to reinforce the concept of the social distancing. It is the most critical part of the effort to try to, as they call it, flatten the curve. Okay?
All right.
All right. But you yourself got to make sure that you look after yourself, huh?
That's what I'm working on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, David.
Hi.
Do you think that the PSV owners practice social distancing?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we have to look at it this way. Whatever somebody else catches can endanger my life, your life, the life of the PSV operator and owner. You know, everybody is threatened by it. So that is why, look, there's this notion that young people feel that, well, you send out a message that young people have less to worry about than old people. All right?
Yep.
And therefore, some young people feel, so what? You know, isn't going to kill me? But you know what? It could kill your mother, your grandfather, your aunt. You know? It can kill somebody else. And when it makes you sick, you don't have a clue what it is going to do to you. It could kill you too. You know, not every young person that has caught the coronavirus has lived. Barbados has a slew of younger people under the age of 65, who are suffering from all sorts of ailments, diabetes, hypertension, heart problems. You know, so you need to look at it that way. They are all vulnerable.
Yeah. This morning, also a call was made for finding space to quarantine people. Don't you think a look could be taken at Glendary Prison?
I don't know. The amount of work that would have to be done to improve the infrastructure of Glendary Prison, really, I don't think so. I think that Barbados has other facilities. If you listen to what the Minister of Tourism said yesterday, he indicated that with the downturn in the tourism sector, there are hotels that are, you know, there to be used like that. Why would we want to go and spend money on Glendary prisons when we have other, you know, offices and facilities in the country that could be adapted to suit that purpose at less of a cost?
Well, if you're bringing back in the Minerva facility, well, that was out of use longer than Glendary prison.
Glendary prison, as far as I'm concerned, it actually has structures that, you know, would burn down to that sort of thing. I don't see the necessity to do it, but, you know, I have no doubt, though. At the end of the day, it's not my decision to make. And I believe that the authorities in Barbados would be in the best position to look at what is available and determine, you know, what they're going to use and what they're not going to use. What's going to be interesting here in all of this is when you reach stage three and you get into this notion of emergency powers, okay? What is it that the government is going to be able to commandeer, and to what extent that is likely to impact on the sensitivities of people in various areas? Because, you know, we haven't been there before, and going in that direction, because, you know, that is influenced by the numbers, what's happening with the numbers. And the most important issue here that we are seeking to avert, the most important problem that we are trying to avert, is that of overwhelming the health facilities. That is really the critical one.
Ships that are more important here, because use those, like, see, Trump proposed to use some instead.
Yes, well, that may be an option. But again, as I said, that is for the authorities to examine and determine what are the best options available to them in the circumstances, depending upon the numbers that we have, you know? Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Yes, hello.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm giving God thanks and trying to hold on. First of all, I must compliment you, Mr. Ellis, on what you, on your opening remarks and what you have said all along the program. I could not agree with you more. I can shake your hand.
In relation to what?
In relation to the fact of social distancing and the peculiar way that some of the inhabitants here are going about it, because, as you rightly said, they are not taking it seriously at all, right? And as you were trying to tell an earlier caller, I believe, that we need to take these measures a little more seriously than we are really taking them. You hear a lot of banter about virus, coronavirus pop-up parties on different sectors of the island and all of that. Now, the authorities will have to somehow deal with that, because if that is true, that is a load of nonsense. I don't know how people could be even entertaining such an idea when you're trying to promote the awareness of social distancing, right? As you can see, as I heard you say, even in countries that you probably didn't mention, even in countries like Vienna, there are people out there, the police had to be put on the streets to not only caution people, those that refuse to adhere to the warnings of social distancing, they're charging them fines all up into 600 euros, which is, unfortunately, what have to be done if people don't want to hear. Right, you understand? In Bulgaria, the same thing, where there's a lot of masks in Bulgaria that people are fighting to get masks, and then they still have to charge people for exploiting other people as a result of this virus. Right? I mean, here, the people here, I've seen here in certain particular fast food giants, you have a guy, you come inside a particular place, and you can tell me if you think this is right. He has his spray. Yes, he's sanitizing every customer that comes in, including some staff members. But you have one particular staff member that will come in, right, get the hand sanitizer on the hand, but then she wipes it in her hammer sack bag and then go and touches it touching up her fellow workmates and saying that she's young enough and can't do her. Now, this is the arrogance or, for lack of a word, the stupidity of some people that really don't understand. It attacks anyone. And as you said, it doesn't matter what age, what level of life you come from. It's no respecter of persons. And I think that, I want to know what you think, that the people that own some of these major fast food chains, especially here in this island, should kind of do some kind of crash workshop and enforce some kind of ruling that if you don't take the measures that are being implemented serious, well, they will have to take disciplinary action against them. What do you think about that?
I don't think that would be peculiar to any one type of business in the country. That's something that we need to reinforce across mm-hmm. the board in Barbados. I mean, I am working in private sector. I don't work for the government of Barbados in a direct way. I look after the interests of the country as a whole as a private sector person. And therefore, whatever is best for Barbados, that is what we have to advocate. We need to push that. We need to encourage that. And I have seen for myself the dangers that are there on the streets by the way that many people have taken this thing. Previously, the girl who just did that is like the guy, the people who try to make a joke of it, and
yeah.
they say, well, you know, she might well have been doing that with her friends, and that's a joke, but it is a serious matter. Then
yeah.
you have people who go and drink together, get the ice, and push their hands inside the ice and put it. Now, first of all, they're not practicing this social distancing as it relates to the drinking. That doesn't mean that you can't eat and drink, but if you're going to do that, you got to keep your distance, all right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's 25 people, the room has to be able to accommodate 25 people, all right? You can't have 25 people in a cramped area because you're breaching the rule of the social distancing. But then on top of that, if you compound that by ignoring the fact that you should not be taking your own hands and putting them inside of the ice bucket, I mean, that is really what's happening around here, you know. And people's behaviors, don't you know me? Well, it ain't gonna touch me.
I agree with you. That is why, if I may say, that's why I applaud the management of the tapas restaurants recently. Have taken a very wise decision to close their doors for a month because he's protecting the staff and themselves and the patrons as well. I applaud him for that. Whereas you applaud on one hand, then on another hand, they have certain members of the private sector still basically only thinking about their pockets and not really thinking about in the long term. They're taking short term. They're not taking in the long term what it can do, the ripple effect that it's really having on the inhabitants and even people.
Countries
that
in the region have done exactly that.
Countries
in the region, but that is where the dilemma lies. You don't know, so put yourself in the position of the person. Pharmacies are a very good example. Apparently the pharmacies are just doing great work, great in terms of a business. Okay, do they close now? Because this is a demand. If the demand is there, they're not going to close their doors. Now, the restaurants, they ain't got much of a choice but to close doors because not too many people are turning up there. A couple of people may do a takeaway here and a takeaway there, but they won't sit down inside the restaurant, no matter how this thing has been reconfigured. So just like how Barbados has been put in a position where it is essentially has had to shut its tourist industry, it doesn't want to do that. But somebody else is doing it for you. The airlines are doing it for you. So if you don't have the business, you're effectively closed, all right? But as long as you feel that you can still eke out an existence here and there, you're going to be looking at the bottom line, because don't forget, our society has moved very heavily in that direction. It's a natural instinct.
Last and final point with you, and I'm glad you mentioned that. You don't want to aspire. As far as tourism is concerned, you don't want to do certain things, but you have to look at things, as I said, in the long term, which I can't understand for the life of me, why they would still, the powers that be, would still allow the boats I look in the harbor and there's a whole heap of them. Now, whereas even if they don't come off the boats in question, they don't come off them, there must be a reason, a fundamental, very valid reason why our territories in the Caribbean and elsewhere, right, would have refused them to come into the waters.
No, no,
because
no.
Because this thing ain't gonna just relax.
Just stop.
That's all I mind. This thing ain't gonna relax.
Just be careful there, though. I heard a speech.
Have to take in consent.
Just hold on. Don't be so alarmist about that.
No, I'm not being alarmist.
Just hold on.
You're being realistic because.
No, realistic what? They're in the water. Because they are in your waters, that naturally means that they're a threat to you.
No, but you're saying, okay, they're on the boat. Okay, they're not allowed to come off the boat.
I heard a responsible speech the other day by the Attorney General of Barbados. As a matter of fact, I thought it was one of his better speeches, tell you the truth. And he spoke about this whole question of home porting. That Barbados has a responsibility. If you have decided that you are a home port for cruise ships, and you have been able to benefit from that over the years, you cannot then, in these circumstances, kick the people out. What kind of partner would you be seen as?
Hold on.
You have had your say. Hold on a minute. Just hold on, because you're very strident on this point. The critical issue here is, if they are in your waters, what restrictions have you placed on their crew when it comes to coming here, on coming onto the shore? And two, what precautions have you put in place for the people in Barbados who work on those ships, the people who go and deliver services to the ships and that sort of thing?
But exactly my point.
Right, you don't necessarily have to kick them out of your waters.
But you've just made my point for me, Ellis.
Okay.
That's the point I'm trying to make. You've just made it. You have just said why I was really grasping and getting at.
Okay.
Well, on one hand, I understand to a certain extent what you are saying. On the other hand, as you just rightly said, you have to. These are questions that need to be answered. Have there been measures put in place to protect the crew that will go on there and service the boat and what have you? The little things that have to do while the boat are in our waters, and also the crew on land, the people that work that deal with on the dock. These are questions that need to be answered. And if someone cares to come on the phone, right, in that sector, answer these questions, because these are unanswered questions that need to give some kind of comfort to the people. You see here recently here with just in the news this morning with staff taking it upon themselves to ease off of the Emeralds supermarket. I believe the union is dealing with that at present.
I understand the cashiers were upset. They were upset.
Yeah, well, people are not taking any chances, and you can't blame them for that. So, I mean, all these things need to be ironed out first before you do hot and sweaty movements. Think about, right now we have to think about ourselves. Sorry, you have to be a little selfish, as the guy said last night on the panel discussion last night, the two doctors, but you have to be selfish in that regard and think about yourself. Other places are doing it. Why must we try to be different? We are no more tougher than other places. If this virus and the end of this can tear down bigger continents, bigger countries, who is a Barbados, a small dot of 166 square miles of space? You understand? So we have to be mindful of what we are doing, what we are saying, and how we do it. I thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Mr. Ellis, this is Carl Padmore of the SSA. You were expecting me to call.
Yes. So you have called?
Yes, sir. Good morning to you. Good morning to Barbados. We just wish to bring Barbados up to speed with what is happening as we've gone into stage two of COVID-19. There are a number of restrictions in terms of our operations and some cautions. One, our head office, which is on the top floor of the National Petroleum Corporation, because we are a tenant of the MPC, and they have gone full steam ahead with stage two operations, we too have to comply. And therefore, we are urging funeral directors to, they can drop off their check downstairs at NPC. We have a security posted there and a box. You can drop off the check.
This sounds more like saying you should go through the advertising department with, though. I thought it was something else.
No, hold on, Mr. Ellis. I'm going to say, I'm segueing into that. Work with me, Mr. Ellis. Work with me.
I try my best.
You're giving me work.
Of course, all right. Well, let's put it this way. You will get that one for free, but ideally you need to put that in such a forum where you can repeat it and stuff. So if you need the repeats, you know where to go. Go ahead.
In terms of our operations, we want to urge members of the public to refrain from approaching the crew on the trucks. We know that in a number of districts, they have a good relationship with their crews. But if you can just neatly place the waste outside so that we don't have that interaction, we still respect the social distancing as well, and we will remove. The priority for us over the next couple of weeks is not the bulk waste. It's the household waste, which is a curbside collection. We have to remove the household waste as a matter of urgency, and we are doing that. So, yes, you may have bulk in your yard, in your house, and you would want that removed, but understand that that is not the priority for us at this stage. As we go into stage two, the priority is really the household collection. Even with our own crews, we have placed on all of our vehicles sanitizers, and where possible, we actually have soap and some water as well so that the guys can keep themselves sanitized throughout this time even more. We have restricted the movement as well in our Wilde depot, and we're urging the members of the public, if you can call us if there are any concerns, rather than come to visit our office, we would appreciate that. 535-5000.
Okay. Thank you very much. You want to see how people can manipulate social media? Now, I'm sure some of you have seen a picture of a lion which is supposed to be on a street in Moscow or some part of Russia, saying that basically President Putin has put 800 lions on Russian streets to ensure that there's a lockdown during COVID-19. No such thing has happened. No such thing has happened. One person posted two photographs, one of the Russian president and the other of a lion roaming on the streets, with the claim that Putin has left these 800 tigers and lions in Russia to clamp down on the citizens' movement. And the person then applauded the stringent measures taken by the president of Russia and expressed the opinion that this will push people to stay home. But it has been pointed out that no such thing happened at all. Social media for you. This is down to brass tacks. This person says that BIMAP does not understand that they need to stop all classes. They say that a lot of us have to take local transport to get there. Not everyone drives. They are putting people at high risk. All schools and tertiary institutions are closed. They are talking about social distancing in classrooms for exams. But in the judgment of this person, this is foolishness. The writer says they are also advertising for new classes already to start next week. They say, in caps, we are all scared, and continue to say, and do not want to go up there. This is wrong. The writer says people are scared and are saying nothing. This is down to brass tacks.
Hi, David. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, ma'am.
I have 2 points to raise this morning. The first one, I want to join with the UPP, United, I don't know, PP, whatever it stands for, party, political party, in suggesting that perhaps this is the time that some extra resources can be used to augment the water supply. I think it's Ionix is the company that provide water, extra and excess water at a cost to government. And I'm hoping perhaps as everybody, you know, playing their part within the private sector, that this company can probably look at the cost to which they provide the water to government. I'm saying this in light of the fact that there's shortages and outages and, you know, restriction on water all across the country at a time when this is something that is not advisable. And I understand the drought situation, the low supply coming from the reservoirs, etc. And that's why I'm saying they can look to the private company to see how they can assist them in supplying water. That's my first point. My second point, I have to also join with the caller who spoke about the cruise ship. I looked at it and I decided I'm going to, my role is to observe all regulations government puts out there, and I want to be a good citizen. But I was really concerned, but I said nothing about it, about this cruise ship. And I noted today, Kerry Simmons, the Minister for Tourism, says that government decision to accommodate over a dozen cruise ships that were denied entry in ports across the region could pay off big dividends. So he's looking down the road and saying that because they let them in on a humanitarian basis, it is quietly gaining respect. In addition, he pointed out, like you did too, that some of the vessels that we have, for example, anchored off of Barbados is their home port, so this requires Barbados to fulfill its responsibility. But the other cruise ship that were turned off by the other Caribbean countries, Jamaica, Trinidad, St. Lucia, whatever, Barbados allowed them to come in on a humanitarian basis to get the people home. And I'm saying, the risk to us, I wondered whether doing that and looking down the road to see that Barbados might benefit big payoff dividends in the long run, at what cost to us, a small country? And the reason I said this, you may have seen to Mr. Ellis a number of WhatsApp pictures showing thousands of cruise ship passengers going to the Grantley Adams Airport. I saw workers working around them, you know, getting them in line, etc. They were wearing blue shirts, so I don't know what the title of these workers were, okay. You know, what is their job.
Reasonable to have that concern. But let me ask you, the confirmed cases that we've had so far, where did they come from? Cruise ship? No.
They came from, and it's a good point, Len, let me address it this way. They came, most of them, the first set came in from airline travel. But do you know, Mr. Ellis, that 40 persons in Trinidad out of the 50 now diagnosed
That's Trinidad. I'm listening to you, but I know about the story.
Came off of a cruise ship, but
you are. But you see, my.
I make the point, you won't understand.
My concern here is that you are flagging the cruise ships, and that's like the horse that is on. That's the horse that you can see.
But you have not allowed me to finish, Mr. Ellis.
Finish it. Let me hear.
Right. Thank you. The 40 persons that were diagnosed in Trinidad came out of a cruise ship. I think that passed through Barbados. They caught, based on their research and talking to the persons, the passengers, it seemed as though they got the coronavirus on that cruise ship. They were anchored off of Guadeloupe because Martinique refused them. All I am saying is we know over and over again there was a ship for weeks, Trump wouldn't let it in off of the shores of California. We know that a number of persons contracted the virus through the cruises that they were on. I am saying the likelihood is out of those thousands upon thousands of persons that were passing through, they, who knows if they were carriers of the virus, if they had it and weren't showing symptoms, etc. My appeal now is, first of all, so I thought that was a bad move from government. I can't commend them and say they're doing a good job in that respect. However, I'm wondering after these persons passed through, I don't know if all the final passengers have gone through. But I am asking, what about those frontline persons? Could they test them without waiting for symptoms? Could they test them because they have been exposed to all these passengers?
Okay, you have had a lot to say. Now let me respond to you by first of all saying that while cruise ships have been proven to have been a source of the virus around the world, I think that the bigger challenge that Barbados has had is that you weren't looking at the Bajans who were returning from England nor from the United States. While you were concerned about people who came from Wuhan and you were willing to quarantine them, you weren't quarantining the people who came off the plane, and went into Bridgetown, and went fetting, and all of that. That to me is a much bigger worry. And based upon what has been said by the authorities, it is proven so far that that is our bigger worry. I think that what is required in relation to the cruise ships is that you have, as I said to a previous caller, to pay attention to the whole question of how you protect the people who are working with them. But let me also add this to you. We don't have any proven cases of coronavirus on the cruise ships that are off Barbados at the moment. But we got proven cases of corona on the ground. So if you can test them, you got to test these health workers in Barbados too.
Yeah. And Mr. Ellis, the other...
You agree with me on that?
Yes, you need to test the health workers. I agree. And they need to provide them with the necessary equipment.
Do you agree with me that you ought to test them even if you don't test the people who are going on the boats? Because they're our health workers.
The front line.
They are the front line. And doctors die in this virus, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And young ones, too. The thing is, right, I am asking myself, how many testing kits we have? Do we have enough?
We don't
how
have enough.
How many ventilators do we have? Do
we don't have enough.
So I am
Who has enough? Let me ask you something.
I am saying to you, just
Who
a
has
second.
Enough?
I am saying to you, just a second. I'm saying to you, therefore, if you say you are following the science, as I heard everybody saying, the government is following the science suggested that you flatten the curve early o'clock.
By doing what?
Therefore, the risk of bringing in all those thousands of persons in by the cruise ship, the risk of not testing persons coming from the UK and the US when the virus was already
Be careful.
Listen.
You're running fast. But let me stop your ear tracks and ask you this question. Isn't there a problem with not enough ventilators in the United States?
Yes.
Right. Tell me which country has enough ventilators and enough testing kits.
So the point I'm making is even more pronounced, which is you flatten the curve to prevent the crisis of having enough ventilators.
But, ma'am, you are ignoring where the problem really arose for Barbados. It has not arisen out of the cruise ships. It has arisen out of people coming off the planes.
But you were not quarantined. People immediately coming from the UK or America in the first instance. I am saying to you, the approach to this has been a little bit bungled. And I'm worrying because, okay, you could give people some slack, but the bottom line is the effect of it on the population, a small population, struggling economy. And I think government should have done some things differently.
2020 vision. I also feel that things could have been done differently. But you know what? This is where we are. This is what we have to work with. We have to concede in all of this that people have been presented with something that they have never had to deal with before. And as far as I'm concerned, I do not subscribe to the idea of trying to use this occasion to create a sense of panic over cruise ships that are off Barbados right now. We have a much bigger problem to deal with here on the land, and that is to make everybody function in a more responsible way. And talking about functioning in a more responsible way, somebody sent us something a short while ago about BIMAP. BIMAP have called to say that there's absolutely no truth to reports that classes there are continuing. They say that classes were suspended last week. So it's possible that something is circulating on social media that has caused this particular person to react in the way that they did. I would not ascribe the irresponsibility to that person. But I would say to you that, perhaps somebody else did that online. But BIMAP is saying their classes are suspended. This is down to brass tacks. Thank you.
Good morning, David.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good, you know.
Yes.
I want to make three quick points before I go to my real substantial point. Now, first, two concerns your station. Now, the first, your outside broadcast, you need to do something about them.
What happened?
Because I find more often not when we're about to listen to some news item, whatever, coming from outside, while waiting when you do get hold of that program or what the broadcast, you're already, the person already commit the discussion concern, whatever it is. And I think you need to
correct by the time, what you said, by the time we are ready to do an outside broadcast.
By the time we get the news, get the broadcast, then come in live radio, the person already in the
state. You're talking about these, you're really talking about these updates.
You're talking about
the updates that are coming from the government about COVID?
No. I speak about, suppose you have an item coming from a government minister or anybody bring news. You know how the Prime Minister...
It's the same thing we're talking about. It's the same thing as if we were talking about it could happen with any statement, including those. What you're talking about is that I really would like to see that there is, it's a question of communication and the feed that you are getting. And that needs to be made far more... It needs to be done more precisely because I've listened to it myself. And I really don't believe in conspiracy theories, but I would love to see that improved because it is not acceptable. It really is not acceptable for us to be in a situation where we are scrambling about trying to get a feed. And sometimes when I turn on to CBC TV, they feed on there.
Correct.
You know, that, and I just want to see that is improved. And I'm glad that you raised it because as a listener, it is something that you have picked up. And, you know, we don't feel comfortable about those types of lapses at all. So I really hope that is something that can be addressed.
Right, because the Prime Minister speech, her broadcast, and when it came, I mean, I was sort of confused because I didn't get the real essence of what the thing was all about. You miss a lot of the real vital points that she was saying.
Right. Okay.
Now, the station again. You have an ad going all the time on your station that we should only listen to credible news.
Yeah.
So how could you have the Trinidadian lady coming out as an alarmist with these?
But she ain't talking any news, but I ain't got nothing to do with news.
Well, there's fake news there, but she are not credible.
No, that's you and the Trinidad lady.
That we need to check.
I don't get
it. Well.
You know, I listened to her the other day talking to Cynthia Ford. I could not believe my ears. She was so charming. I mean, I should get Cynthia Ford here more often for her.
but so long as she got the opportunity to throw a pot shot at government, even this time of a crisis, she would come and use that opportunity. But let me say this to you now. This is my real point I want to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you observed the way that we have influence in this country at the present moment?
No.
The way every week, you already put me on record, you on record is telling me not to read the obituaries.
Why? Why did they tell you that?
You're some family member of yours, I assume my...
Former condolences to me.
Yeah,
what a good time ago.
Right. But I read yesterday's obituaries, David, and I recognize that almost all... funerals that is carried for the entire week of private burials with only family members.
Okay.
Now, I say
what's
that,
your problem with that?
Guys, I say that to say this to you.
If you can only have gatherings of 25,
you're right.
Now, you know what to expect.
Correct. But I say to myself, it's interesting to see how we adapt into these changes now. Now, if that was implemented by government, you will get this calling program, non-stop callers complaining. It shouldn't be so. But they're adapting now to these things, just like the working at home.
Yes.
We had a problem all the time with workers. The employers of the self had a problem letting their own workers work at home. And you see this virus now causing the same thing that people had a concern about or reservation about doing. It's happening now. So it seems to me as though...
It's bigger than that, you know. It's bigger than that. I saw an article written by an attorney which raised some really interesting points about how the Employment Rights Act is being breached. We've had hotels sending home people just like that. This has, beyond the issue of CHAPS, remember several days ago when CHAPS did it, there was this hullabaloo about what needed to be done, and they didn't follow the right procedure and that sort of thing as enshrined in the act. But then COVID comes, and all of a sudden, people have to be let go because, you see everything dropping. The tourism sector has been hard hit and all of that. And the question was, but they have not gone through the procedure that has been laid down by the Employment Rights Act. And you can understand why they can't do so, because everything is happening so quickly. So what do you do in those circumstances?
Okay. But because, David, as I said, going back to your funerals, we even had a problem. Sometimes there was people was complaining about the amount of traffic that you had on the road during funeral times. And it looked to me as though, even though this is a very, very serious virus, it brings some sort of, given open up our eyes to certain things that we should be doing. And that's why we're really observing. I'm watching, and I would like to know what will happen after this virus. If people stick to the same things they're doing now, even the hand washing and so on. Nobody had to tell me that you should be washing my hand every day. Again, but if I know everybody seems to be so hygienic now, everybody feels they should buy up every single sanitizer they see on the shelves.
But still indulge in practices that are dangerous, though.
Exactly. And I will finish by telling you this. I observe also the queues that you speak about. I've been in a big supermarket over by me this morning, and the lines was long outside the supermarket, and everybody was just like touching, body to body, as far as those queues are concerned. But you know what I did?
What?
I marked the person who were in front of me. I walk away. I went on to one of the palm trees. I went out a batch of people like going in. Then I follow and went into the supermarket.
Yes, yes.
But if I know everybody alone, I start in one another, I don't understand.
Because you know the danger associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The BIMAP student comes back. The person says that they went up there last week Thursday. They said all classes will be suspended on Saturday the 22nd, but that we have to come up there next week to do our final exams. That is what I'm referring to. Why should we have to come up there to do final exams? And they were going to say to me quite clearly, this is not about any social media here. These are the plain facts. All right? So be it. Down to brass tacks.